Okie dokie, Joel.
Time.
It is time for our review of Gundam Requiem for Vengeance. Of course, Joel, we haven't done an actual official review in a long time. It feels kind of weird. I feel a little rusty, man.
Got it. I mean, we did like a quasi one not too long ago. We just kind of free flowed, talked about it. So,
yeah. Well, you know what? It's okay because we won't be the only ones rusty. We got a certain rusty Zaku that I'm going to be talking about in a little while. Of course, for people that aren't familiar, this is going to be a full review of Gundam Requiem for Vengeance, the Netflix series that came out just last week. And of course, we will be going through it first, just with our basic review, our basic thoughts, before we get into the full spoilers. That way, for people that haven't seen it yet, you can go watch it for yourself and come back and listen to what we have to say, unfiltered, uncensored, and fully spoilered.
Yes, sir.
So I'll ask you first, Joel, non-spoiler, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a good entry. I like that it's canon. We already talked on text about how we felt about the visuals. I thought they handled the mobile suits well. Action was good. Very boots on the ground feel. First person, way more blood and swearing than I anticipated.
Yeah,
for sure. From a Gundam show. I mean, we've seen it before, but not like they're dropping F-bombs, you know? I mean, it's... I'm not like, oh my God, my Gundam's ruined. But I'm just like, oh, okay, we're there. I think they got the core of what Gundam is all about, and people kind of forget. It's more than just cool mecha. There is a very big message, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But yeah, I enjoy it. I mean, when it comes to Gundam, I'm very, you know, I go between like super strict and very loose, and with One Year War stuff, I already love it in general. So I went in super biased, but I enjoyed it. I have some nitpicks, but for 6 episodes, half hour each, I think they did pretty well. What about you, Brian? What about you?
So it kind of had the same kind of conversations that we had the other day. I'll go more in when we start talking about the actual show itself. I will say, though, for what it's worth, I thought the voice acting, because we both watched this dubbed, I believe. That was the default for Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think the voice cast was good. It's hard to critique certain voice acting for Gundam, because I feel like it depends on whoever the director is. It depends on how the actors pronounce Gundam words.
Yeah.
Because I did catch like a few people like mispronouncing like certain things, and I'm just like
Zaku.
But it's, you know, it's whatever. It's been in Gundam for forever. It's gonna be in it forever. You just kind of have to take it with stride. I did appreciate how good the mobile suits looked. Just kind of like visually, because this whole series was made in Unreal Engine 5. That was like the big catch for this mini series. Without spoiling it, it was fine. The mobile suit fights looked really good. I think that's where it really shines, the attention to detail in that aspect. I was complaining to you guys earlier how some of the just kind of person-to-person scenes kind of looked weird, or it kind of looked like they were holding back a little bit, and it kind of just felt a little like in-engine, like RPG. You know, we need to have a bunch of dialogue so the character is going to sit in one spot and just kind of talk at you with this kind of minimal, like, animation. Although I did feel like after a while, I kind of stopped noticing it. Either I was just like super in the zone and just kind of my mind glazed over and I just forgot about it. But I think closer to nearing the end of it, like it really kind of ramps up as far as the quality goes. Yeah, but overall, I kind of gave this a good recommend for anybody that's a Gundam fan. Can't really recommend it to anybody that hasn't seen Gundam yet. I think there's other things that you should watch first.
Yeah, I agree.
Before watching this. But if you love Universal Century, if you just love, you know, some good Gundam action, I feel like this has what you're looking for and just in it, interesting, different style.
Sure.
That's my opinion. So that, I believe, will kick us into the spoiler territory. But before we do that, Joel, I want to let everybody know at home that we are proud partners with Zenny Gaming. Zenny Gaming is the rising star of the video game eyewear craze. We've been having our Zenny frames for a long time now. They are just very good, very classy, very stylish. And of course, I love my blue light, my true blue blue light filters with the purple tint. Very cool. And of course, for everybody out there watching right now, if you click our affiliate link either down below or in the description, you will not only start your journey into getting the best in gaming glasses and regular glasses too, because they got sunglasses, they've got reading glasses. That's, by the way, full prescriptions. They will do for you. If you click that link right now, not only will you get started on your glasses journey, but you'll also be helping us here at United We Nerd when you make your purchase. And right now, Zenny is having their spooky savings. From now until October 27th, you can get buy one, get one 25% off on additional pair of glasses over $10 by using the promo code SPOOKY24. And if you're in luck, if you're a Zenny Rewards member, you get 25% off on any Fanatics purchase that you make. And don't worry, for anybody that's not a rewards member, you can still get that same discount at Fanatics by using the promo code FAN24. I know I could be using that right now to get some fucking WWE merch, my friend.
Oh.
Give me a white 6 t-shirt that I've been wanting for a while. But yes, take it from us. We've been so happy with our partnership with Zenny. They make really, really cool stuff, and I guarantee you will find the perfect frames for you. So go check out Zenny Gaming right now in the description down below and get to gaming. All right, Joel, it is time to enter the spoiler zone. You have been warned. From this point forward, there will be spoilers galore. So, Joel.
Ryan.
Tell me why, after the GM showed up, it made me appreciate the Gundam more.
I think because we see the power of the gym or GM, and it's, of course, not comparable to the Gundam, only in, like, its scary in appearance, but it's skeletal, it's even weaker, right? And there was a lot of how do I put it? Not like backlash, but a lot of apprehension to this Gundam before we even saw it in action.
Yeah,
and I think we didn't know the context it was dropped. It's definitely a Gundam that was dropped in. It's like a horror, a slasher. I think that's what I told you guys. Like, it's here on the perspective of this enemy force. And you're just watching this thing tear your team apart. It's fucking scary. And I think the Gundam doesn't look great, but I think in this setting, in this context, it fits that bill perfectly. And gyms are like weak by comparison. Or GMs. They're like, no, I'm not scared of that thing. Fuck that. You know?
They did a really good job of framing the Gundam to be, like you said, like a horror movie villain. Like its introduction, just like this big cloud of smoke. It's just like in the dead of night, it just kind of like appears like fucking Godzilla from the 50s. Just like kind of coming up on the Zeon base. I want to appreciate the opening of the series. You know, we are introduced to the main character. It was Ira Solar. She is the captain of the Red Wolves.
Ira Solari. Oh, yes.
It was a Solari? A Solari. I'm sorry. I can't read, everybody out there.
This Gundam nerd won't let him Solari. Do that. I got you, everyone else. I got you.
Hey, in the world of Gundam names, like, you can't blame me for mispronouncing them because they are just so fucking weird.
He is not wrong.
I am not wrong.
He is not fucking wrong.
But we're introduced to Captain Solari and the Red Wolves, a elite group of Zaku pilots that get airdropped into a brutal war zone.
It is fucking brutal. Holy shit.
You're mentioning before, like, they did not hold back on, like, showing you, like, the grotesqueness of war. And on the ground level, too, I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting so much ground warfare in this show.
Yeah. Just seeing those tanks. Like, a lot of tank warfare, which was in the other series, Igloo, which I haven't watched, but I've seen clips. It's like, the tanks are kicking ass. They're fighting mobile suits. They're running people over. They're shooting people. It's what we see, tanks running over other tanks, knocking them over. It was great. But yeah, we see blood spray. We see fuckers getting mown down by tanks. Even anti-air guns playing a role, which we usually don't see, honestly. And I was telling Marcel, like, before you finished, Brian, like, the Flyboys. Ooh, seeing those pilots go at it. I was like, usually we don't get to see good airtime. But I was like, they look good.
Yeah.
They were smashing tanks, trying to fight mobile suits. We were like, yeah, there's the Gundam, but did you forget there's fucking people dying left and right, like, on the ground? It's wild.
Yeah, we even saw some good WASP pilots.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Which ones?
The jets, the Zeon jets? Or are those Dobbs?
Dobbs. I think they're Dobbs. I forgot. Dobbs. No? Dobbs. I don't remember. Take my Gundam lore card. Fuck, I forgot.
Dops. Okay. Oh, I think what got me confused is they were their code names were WASPs, like WASP 1, WASP 2. But yeah, okay. The jets were Dops. Okay. So it was actually really cool to see more of the non mobile suit, like, artillery and, like, weaponry that they have, because those are like background things and everything else, because they're minuscule and tall, small, doesn't matter. But seeing those, like, in tandem with when the Zakus do show up and just kind of take control of the battlefield at that point, and it's just, like, so reminiscent of kind of the early, because there's some material in Gundam that shows kind of like the early years of the war. And I believe this was the 11th month of the 1 year war. So this is like, right.
They like end on Christmas or New Year's or something like that. Like they've been at it.
And like, they're just now kind of getting a sense of like the nearing the end of this war. Cause we have, the group of Zakus, you know, clear out the way. They reclaim their base and stuff like that, and like they get settled in. But then all of a sudden, in the fog of night, the dreaded Gundam comes out, and oh my god, destroys everything. It devastation.
Double taps like a motherfucker too. There is no mercy. That Gundam is fucking scary. Smashing cockpits in, slicing tanks. I think this is the most brutal we've seen a Gundam, like, with ground forces and artillery too. Like, no mercy for foot soldiers, tanks, aircraft. Zaku's like, fuck you, like, I don't, you're dead. I see you, you're fucking dead. It's scary. Yeah, V Finn be damned. That antenna, you know, seeing that fucking face, oh god.
Yeah, and just like it actually, that scene, the first scene of it showing up, like, reminded me so much of the intro to Journey to Jaburo. We kind of talked about this recently.
Yeah,
it's still one of my favorite things, but it's like in Journey to Jaburo, like, the intro to, like, just the game itself before the main menu is just the scene of these Zaku pilots just kind of like in a city, kind of like patrolling around, and all of a sudden the Gundam just comes out of nowhere and beats the shit out of everybody. Mm-hmm. It, like, it's, and just like the way that they made the Gundam kind of act in this show, where it's like it's just taking out things with ease, and then it kind of dips and dives and kind of just like juts along so like easily compared, because the one thing I do like about the show is that they made the Zakus like very not stiff, but they have this kind of like, you know, blockiness to them where they don't,
they got oomph.
They got oomph. And of course, in the show, we kind of find out that Captain Solari is in fact a new type. So yeah. she starts getting the new type tingle.
Yeah.
And she kind of, I would say she like pilots pretty good, but like over time she gets progressively better, but she does get her ass kicked a lot in the show.
Oh yeah, for sure. She is surviving. She is not winning. I wouldn't even say she's fighting. She's surviving, honestly. A lot of the fights, it's like, we made it out. It's not even about killing. It's about like getting out and being, I feel like this is the first time we really see Zeon like kind of passively. It's like, we are just trying to make it out. We're not even trying to, at least Area Solari's crew. I'll say that there's some other who are very antagonistic, but for sure, like, it feels like, oh damn, like, how do you fucking stop this like walking nuke? You know what I mean? Like, crazy.
No, yeah. Like, I forget. There was a certain part of like the one of the episodes where they are on the run. They're trying to, you know, find a bait. And it's like, I cannot tell you like how much it seemed like that Gundam was just having the time of its life, beating the shit out of everybody. Like, they're trying to like escape from their base, and like the Gundam is just going from one mobile suit to the other to like tanks and stuff, just like having a ball, beating the shit out of everybody. Like, it has its beam rifle, it has three fucking beam sabers, and it's like mounted Gatling gun, and it's just having a fucking blast.
And holy, a shield that looks strange that still fucking blocks really well. I was like, that thing's gonna fall apart. No.
It gets damaged a little bit at one point, but it doesn't stop them at all.
Nope.
What do you think about the group of people that we kind of form up into, like, the group of the show? What are your opinions on them?
It's interesting because she has her crew, and then she has this, like, people she picks up along the way who are specialists, right? And they're really good at just, you know, also being survivors and playing their part when they need to. I think that it works for the story. It moves it along. I think having four really good Zaku pilots, it would have done work on the Gundam if they were coordinated. Of course, the Gundam comes out of nowhere, sneak attacks, destroys, and they don't know the power it has because the Gundam is like a myth, right? But they don't really know the power of a Gundam until they see one. I think her crew is good. It sucks, I think, because like you want to see more mobile suit actions, but again, we're getting more boots on the ground stuff. But it works because they're in this like theater of war in Romania, and they're like escaping, and you know, they're not going gung ho, but they know, everyone in this group knows, like, this is a war zone. We have to do what it takes to survive. And I want to actually, where do you go? We have to,
I'm here. I'm back. My camera froze. I'm back.
I want to segue into, like, we kind of don't see, at least for me, I don't remember, we don't really see it too much, but there's, like, a medic character who's literally there to help whoever. Like, if a Federation soldier's bleeding out, he's helping him. If there's a Zeon soldier, he's bleeding out. Usually, we kind of, it's very, like, Zeon or Federation. We don't really have a, like, a true in-between with good intent, I should say. There's definitely in-between with bad intent.
I believe the character's name is Oni Kasuga.
Yeah,
of Oni the Kasuga. UMRC.
Yeah, it's interesting. We get those medics, and there was even this incident where he was like they transitioned really weird. He like looks kind of back like sinisterly. I was like, oh shit, is he reporting to the Federation? No, never. It was just a weird cut, but it was cool to see
that a very lacking amount of betrayal in this. I was assuming somebody was going to betray somebody.
No, it's straight up like surviving. But yeah, and then I thought it was even interesting in the first episode, we have medics and they're not being fired upon. Like, despite the horrors of war, everyone knows, like, don't fuck with the medics. Like, they're literally there to patch you up. And, you know, it's like a war crime. I mean, they're already fucking killing people. But, you know, it's like, you know, like, it, like, Solari makes a choice. She sees medics. She knows not to engage with them. So it's just interesting seeing that from, like, Gundam. So that I think that was interesting. All the rest of the characters, I feel like they were kind of like plot devices as well, but I think they still work and they do round out Solari.
Because, what was it? I remember Alfie. I think Alfie was like the mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
He was really fun. I enjoyed him as a character. He had that night. He was like the one that was just, he was the voice of reason for Solari. And also kind of like the more uplifting member of the group, who kind of always kind of kept a positive outlook on things. I'm trying to remember, because there's Joshua. Was that the tattooed girl?
Oh, that was Haley.
Haley. Yeah, she kind of seemed like a half-baked character.
I feel like she had a lot to prove, but she's also like, she knows her job. Like, she straight up ices some Federation soldiers. And there's, you know, even the doctor's like, it's my job to protect. It's like, well, we're at war, doctor. Sorry. Like, and what's he going to do? He clearly can't heal dead people, right? I mean, he's like, they could have surrendered. It's his job to protect people, right? And he's caught in the middle. That I think that was a good moment, but yeah, later she's kind of like, she's just there as security. Yeah. But yeah, it's
I said when she first kind of showed up, it's like, man, she looks like the player character, because she does not look like anybody else. Like, pink hair, really. No, like, septum piercings, tattoos all over the place. She looks like a created character. And she had the importance of a created character, in my opinion.
It's cool to see another pink-haired warrior and hella tattoos. Yeah. I mean, in the other Gundam thing I own, Bandit Flower, there's a gun cannon pilot. She's hella tatted up. So that was kind of cool. And she's like a Zaku tattoo stuff. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, I
just wish there was more.
We should have gotten more. But at the same time, I think it's probably like a balance. Like, do we give her more, but take away from Solari's story? But yeah, I know what you're saying. I feel like there's potential. But I mean, there's more we could say about Solari's story when we get there too. But yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about the other characters, man?
I mean, they're, you know, they're fine. I didn't mind them. Of course, you know, throughout the series, like, more and more people from, like, we lost, like, what, three members of the Red Wolf Squadron? Or, like,
by the end, yeah.
By the end.
Yeah. And, her, you know, she's, like, mentoring LaShawn, who is the hothead and will pay for it later. But I think, you know, it's a show literally about vengeance, right? And he lets the vengeance get to him. And, you know, he knows what he, you know, he's there to be there for his captain, but I think he doesn't know what's going to literally cost him, like, everything in the end. And,
true.
Yeah. And then we're kind of also, we are also LaShawn at the same time. We're learning more about the captain as we're going on this adventure. Like, Alfie talks about her husband, what she used to do, and, like, LaShawn's learning along the way. So, in a way, we're kind of, like, the same person.
Yeah, that's fair. I was a little surprised, because we got kind of a cameo character.
We did.
Halfway through. We got Yuri Kellerin from, or Kellerin, Yuri Kellerin from, yeah. They made him look too pretty.
Oh yeah,
for the type of body he has.
Wolverine looking innate MS team. But that's the whole thing of that.
It's so weird because, like, they kept like the Wolverine-esque hair.
Yeah,
he kind of had like a built body, like a square body, but then he just had such a pretty face. It did not look right.
War didn't faze him.
War at all. Didn't change him at all.
Yeah, it made him better. That was cool. Nice little connection to the greater universe.
Yeah. And, you know, from them, Yuri gave them the secret mission to go try to take one of the GMs for themselves.
Yeah.
And we get to kind of meet, quote unquote, the true, like, Earth Federation pilot, which of course is a fucking kid.
Child soldiers, yay!
Child soldiers. So let's just talk about it. So the whole plot of this show is that it's nearing the last year of the 1 year war. Our main character, Captain Solari, has a son back at the Principality. Husband died because he was also in the war. And the whole point was that they're going to try to survive and make it off planet so they can, you know, go back to their lives, go back to their families. And that was the whole point of the show, right?
Survive.
And, you know, like I was saying, you know, Solari is a new type. So more and more, she starts kind of getting more in tune with the, you know, new typeness. And what do we find? The child soldier is also a new type. And so
bless
the Gundam. I don't know. The ending to me was kind of why? Because, like, the whole point was, like, she wanted to escape. And it felt like they kind of had to do the whole, oh, she's a new type, so now she kind of has to do, like, the greater than thou kind of mission. Because, like, she stays behind as her team is getting to, like, one of the last shuttles that in Odessa that's supposed to leave to retreat back to the Principality, right?
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, finding a way to get back, of course, they have this whole new type battle of the minds and having the kid, you know, unfortunately die because of another soldier that, you know, attacks from behind. But she all of a sudden is like, I'm going to stay on Earth and live in Africa so I can help all the children, all the children of war.
I'm going to fight as long as we have to fight. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just kind of like that was sudden.
Yeah. I feel like something got lost at the end for sure. I was like, okay, she stayed behind, you know, oh shit, she has to fight. And it's like, wait, she doesn't want to go back and see her son after wanting to see her son. Like, I get, like, meaning to fight to protect, but, like, I don't know. It wasn't conveyed right.
It went from, like, it went from like, we lost the war, just let us go home, and into like, oh no, that one kid died, I need to defend all the children.
Yeah, it was very Catcher in the Rye.
A little bit.
Yeah, I like the reference to Remnants in Africa. That's in Stardust Memory, so that's really cool. But, yeah.
I didn't catch that, actually.
That's... Yeah, she said the Remnants in Africa. I think they go to Africa. Maybe it's Australia.
They go to Africa at the end.
Yeah, but they go to space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like a translation thing or that's what they wanted. It ended kind of funky. If it was a way of saying like Solari's story isn't done, I don't think that was it. There's definitely more to be explored, I think. Of course, it's a big universe. It's like very MCU now and Star Wars. Let's explore 0081, where Solari was fighting the secret tank unit of Super Gun Tank. You know, I'm sure they could do that, right? But I think if they wanted us to be excited for future content, I think that last sentence, it should have been something else. Maybe it's like I'm going to continue fighting, you know, because I've lost so much and I want my son to live. I think, I don't know, it's easy for me to say, you know, armchair writing.
It just
flow right. I get it, but I don't think that's what they wanted. I don't know.
It left me as like a huh?
Yeah, at the end. Right. Like, it wasn't even like, you know, they'd have played the winner, like the Stardust Memory, like theme. I mean, that would have been inappropriate as fuck. There was a super bad ending with like the kid dying. But imagine being all upbeat and shit. I was it you or someone saying like it should have ended right when, you know, she was kneeling down, or I saw online like as soon as she kneeled down and saw that like Gundam kid died, it would have been, I'd be like, oh, that would have been like, fuck, like, oh my god, like that's the reality, like child soldier dies in war, like no, kid shouldn't be fighting, war is bad, perfect. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I think maybe they should have saved that scene and like tease us like I'm gonna keep fighting, right? And it's like boom, you know, the Red Wolves will return or something.
Like at least to have it make a little bit more sense instead of just being like, oh, I was trying to save this child because new type Link and we were getting there and then, you know, war is war. Yeah. Now I need to do my new type mission and stop war.
Yeah, I think they were afraid to say like vengeance will drive me to keep fighting. Like I think that they didn't want to like say the Requiem for Vengeance. They were just like, you know, she's a mother to me, you know, it was that a little Stars Counterattack weirdness.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, for a show that's called Requiem for Vengeance, the main character kind of doesn't want to do vengeance.
No.
It's more like she's trying to stop other people from doing vengeance. Because what was it? Like she like stuck to her mission. And she stuck to, you know, she was the captain, she had to be the leader of her group. Yeah. She had to do, you know, what she was ordered to do.
Yeah.
And it felt like the other people around her were like really like in it for the fucking fight. Like, what's his face? LaShawn.
Yeah.
In the scene where he was chasing after that GM pilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was like, no, stop. And like, to me, she didn't seem like she was doing anything out of vengeance. She was more so just doing things out of duty and trying to get home. So yeah, I'm wondering what the idea is supposed to be for the, is it supposed to be like, oh, like vengeance is just like the whole reason that we're in this mess is because, you know, we wanted revenge. Like, we, as in, like, the people of Zeon, wanted revenge for being treated like shit.
Yeah.
Like, by the Earth Federation. And then this is, like, what we got out of vengeance. It's, I felt like they probably could have titled this show something different.
I'm thinking about the definition of Requiem. It is like, it, you know, a word for rest, you know. It's a musical composition, and she is a violinist. But yeah, like her concert for vengeance, her rest for vengeance. I mean, she does like a rest for vengeance, and she's driven at the end, I guess you could say. But yeah, I don't know. It was a good watch. I just think, like, yeah, the journey was good. The ending was a little strange. It was, again, like Sharkskin Attack, you know, it was like, what? Huh?
I feel like they could have done with maybe having one more interaction with her and the Gundam pilot before the ending. You know, because they had the really cool scene where it's like she almost gets caught at the Federation base when she drops the pocket watch that she kept as a memento, and he picks it, and the kid picks it up, and it's like I know who you are. I'm not gonna say anything, but I know who you are. I felt like maybe they could have had. I feel like they could have had one more interaction.
Yeah,
like with them talking before the last fight.
I wonder if there was another scene or was cut, or maybe for time. It's a little more. But at the same time, like, I think it does kind of work, because, like, she's like, I literally just want to get home. I have a kid. And, you know, and then he buys it, I think, because he is a kid. He's just made to be a killing machine, doesn't realize. But then, of course, you know, it's they're at war. He's taken advantage of. The fucking other Zeon pilot is vengeful, and it's like, fuck this guy. He doesn't know it's a kid, right? Or if he does, he doesn't care. Fucking guts the Gundam. Hey, like, yeah,
good on him. He gets the fucking accolade of killing a fucking Gundam. Good on him.
He's got like 50 Zeon Iron Crosses for that one, I'm sure. I think another interaction would have helped, but I think, at least for me, I think it sticks only because of the result. And what truly is, like, the result of, like, is anyone safe? No, war is bad. No. Like, no one is ever safe, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, overall, I still think it's a good show that should be watched. I wanted to point out something that I noticed. Just, like, fun little facts. I noticed one of the first scenes with a Gundam in it, as the camera's like behind the Gundam, that I realized that it's using a gun cannon beam rifle.
Sort of, yeah. It's like a reduced, like, it has the same kind of scope and layout as the gun cannons, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just kind of neat, because it's very much showing how, you know, the other Federation is, like, really just trying to rush to make more of these things. So now they're just giving them anything that they can give them to, like, put on the edge, which I love how they showed the effectiveness of the Earth Federation getting beam, like, weapon technology before Zeon.
Devastating. It's destructive as fuck.
And, like, they showed, like, just shooting through, like, Zaku's, but then also they did a good job of, like, having Solari, like, look and see the devastation that leads behind. Because, like, the beam rifle shots don't just finish. They keep going. So you just see this whole streak of just, like, destruction that it just leaves as it's being, like, shot through. I thought that was a really good touch. I'm a little bit more okay with how the promotional stuff for the Zaku was, now knowing that it is literally a piece of junk.
Built. Yeah, they literally kitbashed that thing, literally.
And surprisingly does better than the actual, like, well put together Zakus, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, I just like that they kept putting on those, like, little bit of touches every now and again just to kind of show off. And the fight choreography, I thought, was really good.
We got some, like, with mobile suit to mobile suit, mobile suit with car, tank, plane. We got a lot of different battles on different levels, and I agree. They choreographed it really well. Even in the beginning, I was like, oh, these Zakus move with oomph, and they're firing, and they're, you know, they're kicking tanks and shit. Gundam is kicking a Zaku. It was, like, within the realm of what Gundams are supposed to do and mobiles are supposed to do, but also, like, believable, but still, like, has some flair, you know? I think they nailed it for sure. And the Gauffs, oh, man, they made them look fucking great.
Bro, those things were sick as fuck.
The Zakus look good, but I'm like, man, fuck, I'm the Gauffs can, like, I just put me in one, man. Shit's always sick.
I'm so glad they used the 8th MS team versions with, like, the shield Gatling gun.
Yeah, the special versions or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good choice. I really like that. What were they called? Yeah. Like the Midnights?
The Midnighters, I think.
The Midnighters.
Special, yeah, they're a couple Gauff specialists.
They were like the hoo-ah Gauff pilots. I appreciated them.
One nitpick I have.
Okay.
But I understand why. They didn't really use, like, the classic Gundam gun noises, beam rifle noises, Zaku machine gun noises, even the stepping. The sound mixing was different. But it works. I'm just saying, as, like, a one-year war fucking apologist and lover of the fucking one-year war, we didn't really get those sound effects or new type effects too much. So I'm just surprised. Like, it's a choice, right? Like, to not have the Zaku sounding machine gun or the pew, you know, the classic Gundam beam rifle sound. But on the flip side, like, they mix the sound really fucking good and loud.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that machine gun, the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's not a Zaku machine gun sound. But also, like, oh, fuck. It's like, gong, gong, gong. Like, oh, shit. Like, that shit, like, you feel like you're, like, boom, boom. You know, it's like, oomph. Again, the oomph is there.
I even appreciate, like, the reloading sounds it made. Because, like, they took the time to really make this feel like conflict, because they'll be like ducking for cover, and then, like, you'd be hearing, like, the loud crunk as it's taking off the drum of the machine gun and, like, putting on a new one, or just kind of like the I don't know, for me, I kind of like the, like, how much they wanted to, like, emphasize, like, these are big hunking metal death machines, and, like, you can hear, like, the clankings and, like, the scrapings and all of, like, the joints just kind of, like, moving as they're like fighting each other. Sound mixing plus.
Yeah, you mentioned it too, like, we don't really see it too often, but taking cover, they really emphasize taking cover and hiding, and I just thought that was cool. That really made it feel like, yeah, we're soldiers, we're fighting. Not, I feel like in Gundam, yeah, like I said before, a lot of flair and movement and like very fancy, you know, we're avoiding shots, and I was like, no, I need to hide, this fucker's gonna kill me, you know, use of the terrain and shit,
we will get one shotted right away, fuck you, we're hiding.
They're smart, you know, methodical. It's smart.
Oh, fuck, one of the coolest things I thought, the melee combat, actually having them, like, do, like, actual, like, sword fighting, I thought was so cool. Just, like, the way that they're able to show off not only when they were actually doing, like, saber to saber combat, but, like, when there's, like, the heat hawk, like, the heat tomahawk, and, like, actually being able to use it in actual, like, melee combat, like, doing blocks and, like, strikes, and actually, like, going at, like, a good old a sword fight. I thought that was really sick.
They choreographed it really well and believably too. And I don't know if you noticed that while they were escaping in the Zaku tank, this one Zaku was holding his own against the Gundam for a good minute. I was like, oh,
yeah, that guy's
my hero. He's about to get fucking iced. That guy's my hero, though. Holding it like, oh, like he's going to give it his all, even though he's about to be fucking obliterated in like 3 seconds.
I also like the nice touch of the Gundam's beam saber, where it's like the very bottom of it has like this kind of bluish tint to it. And then as it like rises, it like turns into like that like pinkish purple that we know of. It's just like those tiny little details.
Yeah,
I think are good. I do kind of agree that the weird shoulders, like the kind of like bare shoulders that they gave it were kind of hit or miss.
They had to crank him out fast, like you said. It's like he's not getting
the shoulders. That's true.
But, I mean, I was thinking about it as we were talking. Like, I think he was more bare to be more maneuverable too. I really felt like this Gundam was way more maneuverable than Grandpa. Grandpa had more armor, though. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, it felt skeletal, but in a scary way. But also, like, because he was jumping a lot and, like, moving. And it was, I feel like it made up for it with speed.
James in the chat asks, unbiased opinion, do you think a non-Gundam fan would like this? Say, without showing bias. I don't think it's it's hard.
I mean, we just spoiled a lot of it for you. I think you should check it out because you have the semi knowledge. Just because it's a good war movie, there's some. I mean, you already heard some shock value moments, but I mean, to see it still, I mean, you could. I feel like this is also a gateway show. They put on Netflix specifically also to like lead into like so like oh I watched this. Let me check out the other ones because they did put the full show now on Netflix.
It's kind of like a back and forth. Like, yeah, you can watch it and you'll get. See, I think the benefit of the time and place they put this in for somebody that doesn't know enough about Gundam or hasn't watched Gundam at all, it might be fine just because the characters themselves are also learning about the thing that's attacking him at the same time. So it's not like, oh, you should already know everything about this thing. We've been fighting this thing for so long. That's true. No, they're seeing this thing for the first time. So it's just like a holy shit. Some of the terminology might trip you up a little bit. But then I think for something like that is just kind of something you have to just like go full like head first into, because any Gundam series is going to be like that, where you're going to have to learn some words and understand what they mean.
Or you're just like, okay, this is a Zaku, it's established, and that's it. Like, we're moving on. Like, they literally, like, hey, yeah, the DOPs are coming in. What the fuck is a DOP? Boom, okay, moving on. Like, it's...
Yeah. Earlier, I was kind of thinking... Earlier, I said that it might not be... Now that we've been talking about it, it might not be too bad. Because it's isolated, it doesn't have much to do with anything, so it's like you don't need to have prior knowledge, and they give you like enough information. It's like, hey, this is a war, this is like the 11th month of the 1 year war, and you know, this small little instance in time is what we're showing you. So maybe it's like six episodes, each episode's like a half an hour, so it's like if you have like 3 hours or you break it up like an hour a day, it's not a bad watch.
No, it's not.
No.
I think it's just you have a better appreciation having some of that knowledge. I mean, it's not like, again, it's such a, you're kind of like I said earlier, you're like one of the pilots. You're kind of learning along the way, like Brian was kind of explaining. I think, like, if you don't know about, like, these nitpicky sounds I was talking about, you're going to enjoy it. Just, you know, me, I'm being particular like about the creative decision, but it still works.
Yeah. You know what? I say watch it, form your own opinion. And if you do, if you really dig the aesthetics of this show, I'd highly recommend going to watch 8th MS Team.
I agree.
They are very similar in kind of style and like theming. It's like very much grounded warfare.
boots on the ground, first person, you know, working as a team, making your choice about what's going to happen in this war, for better or for worse.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd say go watch it. Why not?
Only 3 hours.
Yeah.
It still gets the main message of all Gundams in 3 hours. So
yeah. And if anything, you'll get cool robot fights out of it, which who doesn't like a good robot fight?
Honestly, I think the best way to watch it, not so much a mecha anime, watch it like a war horror story, and I think you'll enjoy it. Think about it like that.
There you go. Okay, well, do you have any final thoughts about Gundam Requiem for Vengeance?
You know me, I can't get enough of the fucking UC timeline, so I'm down. If they do more, the ending, it's like contrary to everything she's been doing, but I guess that's just war changes people. I don't know. I'm sure people will hear from the writers or something soon. We'll love to see what they do with her story next, if anything. If not, that's okay. Even a snippet of like she joins the Titans, or you know, she joins the AU, who knows? She makes it to Neo Zeon's last stand at Torrington Base. I don't know. I like knowing that stuff, but I think it's good. If you're a Gundam fan, definitely got to check it out. If you're new to Gundam, I think it is good. If you know anything about Gundam, it's an interesting war story, a good place to start. And it kind of shows you the weird stuff Gundam does too at the same time. Like, what? it literally encapsulates what Gundam does, everything about it. But more swearing and blood than needed.
More swearing and blood.
A lot more swearing.
For sure.
Hey, Brian, what's your verdict?
I say, you know, it is a decent war story for people that are very much fans of the UC timeline, especially the 1 year war. It is a must watch just to kind of get more of that era. What can I say? Ben in the chat says robot fights sell it.
Yep.
The good robot fights.
It's mecha, excuse me.
Mecha,
the pilot robots aren't your pilot, excuse me.
Oh, well, I should get rid of all these Gundam figures. Throw away my car, my mecha fan card. Oh, no. All right, well, that has been our review of Gundam Requiem for Vengeance. We appreciate people watching us, especially people that are watching this in the YouTube realm. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of Gundam Requiem for Vengeance, or let us know if there are any other Gundam series that you would rather watch than this show. Let us know. And, you know, we are Gundam.
Gun plus freedom.
Gun plus freedom.